This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentralMedia.com. Please follow us on social media, Facebook.com/MuslimCentral and Twitter.com/MuslimCentral. Also check out our other websites, MuslimCentralTube.com and MuslimCentralImages.com.
Inshallah, this morning we will be reading from verse number 27 of Surah Sad, which is page number 450 of the Sahih International Translation. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذلك ظن الذين كفروا فويل للذين كفروا من النار أم نجعل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كالمفسدين في الأرض أم نجعل المتقين كالفجار كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب ووهبنا لداود سليمان نعم العبد إنه أواب إذ عرض عليه بالعشي الصافنات الجياد فقال إني أحببت حب الخير عن ذكر ربي حتى توارت بالحجاب ردوها علي فطفق مسحا بالسوق والأعناق ولقد فتنا سليمان وألقينا على كرسيه جسدا ثم أناب قال رب اغفر لي وهب لي ملكا لا ينبغي لأحد من بعدي إنك أنت الوهاب فسخرنا له الريح تجري بأمره رخاء حيث أصاب والشياطين كل بناء وغواص وآخرين مقرنين في الأصفاد هذا عطاؤنا فامنن أو أمسك بغير حساب وإن له عندنا لزلفى وحسن مآب واذكر عبدنا أيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الشيطان بنصب وعذاب اركض برجلك هذا مغتسل بارد وشراب ووهبنا له أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة منا وذكرى لأولي الألباب وخذ بيدك ضغثا فاضرب به ولا تحنث إنا وجدناه صابرا نعم العبد إنه أواب واذكر عبادنا إبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب أولي الأيدي والأبصار إنا أخلصناهم بخالصة ذكر الدار وإنهم عندنا لمن المصطفين الأخيار واذكر إسماعيل واليسع وذا الكفل وكل من الأخيار هذا ذكر وإن للمتقين لحسن مآب جنات عدن مفتحة لهم الأبواب متكئين فيها يدعون فيها بفاكهة كثيرة وشراب وعندهم قاصرات الطرف أتراب هذا ما توعدون ليوم الحساب إن هذا لرزقنا ما له من نفاد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions, and all those who have followed that particular path. We ask Allah to make us from amongst them and our offspring as well. My mothers and sisters, last week we heard some of the story of Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests every single person. And these tests have even come to the prophets of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them. They've all been tested in bigger ways than you and I have ever been tested and would ever be tested. So if you take a look at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, he has had the biggest of tests and he has the highest of statuses. And if you look at the other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they all had tests from Allah. Like Dawood alayhi salam, when it came to the judging between the two brothers who had come to see him, and he issued a ruling without actually giving the opportunity to the other to express the view or to say something, immediately he realized and he turned to Allah. From there we learn another lesson that we did not make mention of last week, and that is, my mothers and sisters, wherever we have gone wrong, immediately turn to Allah. That is the way forward. And Allah says, we will forgive you. Look at Dawood alayhi salam. When he went wrong, within an instant, he was seeking forgiveness of Allah. And Allah says, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. We forgave him for that, completely. And when you are forgiven, my mothers and sisters, your sin is wiped out totally. It is not there anymore. One of the plans of shaitan, and this is very important to listen to, one of the plans of shaitan is, after repentance, he makes you doubt your forgiveness and the mercy of Allah and the fact that you have been forgiven. This is a clear plan of shaitan which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about, and even the Quran has warned us about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of how he will forgive absolutely everything. But shaitan keeps on saying, no, you're not forgiven. And you know what? You're not pure and you're not clean. And whatever you've done, what you've done is a little bit beyond the forgiveness of Allah. So that is dangerous and detrimental. Imagine if Dawood alayhi salam asked Allah's forgiveness and then he felt, no, Allah did not forgive me. You know, I'm not forgiven for this. This was too big and so on. A'udhu billah. That would have been made mention of in the Quran if it was the case, but it wasn't. He sought forgiveness. He fell prostrate. He got closer to Allah as a result. Because he fell prostrate immediately thereafter, he engaged in an act of worship and other acts of worship. And at the same time, he knew within that Allah has forgiven us. Because, my mothers and sisters, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of why he brought us into the world as human beings, with the desires we have, with the brain we have, with whatever system we have, is that whenever we falter, we turn to him. The more we turn to him, the more he loves us. So this is the reason why Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was made to commit a certain transgression whilst he was not yet on the earth. And immediately he asked for forgiveness in order to show the rest of us that when you will, out of human nature, err and make a mistake and do something wrong, the way forward is to actually ask Allah's forgiveness and to carry on after that. To carry on within the path that will lead to Jannah, to paradise, to the pleasure of Allah. But now the past is gone, it is history and you have been cleaned of it. It's cleansed, no need to now let it bog you down some time later, years later, or even later when we become old and we sit back. Yes, there will be an element of regret in the heart to say, I shouldn't have done this. That is, sometimes it will come to everyone and it's good. In fact, without regret, tawbah is not valid. But that regret, there are two different instances of regret. One is regret upon the engaging of repentance or with in repentance. When we are engaging in repentance, that regret is regret with warm tears that roll down, or we really feel so bad what we did. But once we ask Allah's forgiveness genuinely and sincerely, and we say, Ya Allah, we will not do this again, we need to know for a fact that I have been forgiven and I carry on. If we do not have that conviction, it is because our iman is weak. We haven't understood the plan of Allah. We don't understand Allah created us human beings. So this is why not a single one of us can claim that we are sinless. Have no sin. No sin. Sometimes, even if you are much older, maybe during your young age, your young years, you may have done a few things, sometimes many things that you were not proud about. The mere fact that Allah has given you an age where you can look back and regret, that already is the mercy of Allah. Imagine if we died whilst committing sin. That's a punishment. May Allah forgive us. Really. So, isn't it a point of the mercy of Allah that today we are seated here speaking about how Allah will forgive us and how Allah has given us an opportunity to look back and say what I did was wrong. That alone is the mercy of Allah. Think about it. So do not let shaitan entrap you by making you feel locked in your sin in a way that you cannot get out of it to go further towards Allah, and you feel unclean and impure because of what you did in the past. The past is the past. This is why we are taught by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if a person enters the fold of Islam, all their bad is deleted. The good is carried through. The bad is deleted, but the good is carried through. And if a person engages in tawbah, which means repentance, sincere seeking of forgiveness, to Allah alone, and from Allah alone, then the same thing happens. It is as though they are purer than the day they were born. Why do we say purer than the day they were born? The reason is, the day you and I were born, we were spotless. We had nothing. No sins and no good deeds either. But when you engage in tawbah, your sins are gone. What happens to your good deeds? Not only do your good deeds remain, but that repentance itself was a good deed. I hope you're following what we're saying. So repentance itself was such a good deed that that alone will be written on your scale of good deeds to say this person repented. And this is why Allah says in one place in the Quran that if after you repent to Allah, you try your best to do good deeds and you believe in Allah, you build your conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, those bad deeds which you did in the past, we'll bring them back. But we'll bring them back as good deeds on the right side of the scale, so that we know that you have now come closer to us than you ever were before, because you sinned and then you regretted. So sometimes when a person has seen evil, they've been out in the clubs, they've been drinking, they've been on drugs, they've been on whatever. May Allah protect us all and our offspring from these bad habits. But whatever it was, sometimes when a person has seen the dark and they've felt the depressive life of sin, and after that they find Allah, they are closer sometimes to Allah than those who have never seen the dark side. Sometimes. We're not saying always, but sometimes it does happen. So wasn't that a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why my mothers and sisters never lose hope in someone turning to Allah after having led a life full of destruction and sin. And never let yourself feel that because I'm a person who continues reading my salah and I'm trying the best in my life, that I am now better than this other person who's perhaps outwardly sinful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that cannot be the case. Only Allah knows how I will end and how you will end. May Allah grant us a good ending. Ameen. Ameen. That's a very important dua. May Allah grant us an ending with iman in a good condition. That is an extremely important dua. Do you know why? Because every one of us is coming to an end. Every one of us. And nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows whether your family will have your body to even know that you've died. Look at what has happened in Malaysia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them closure. Look at what has happened to so many other people across the globe. You don't even know whether they are there or not there. That is more difficult. That is a big test of Allah. And here we are today speaking of the tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which were tailor-made for the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will make mention of a few of these tests inshallah in a few moments. But there is something else that needs to be discussed. And I've already spoken about how important it is for us to turn to Allah immediately upon having done something wrong. Turn to Allah. You know, human nature might make you sin, but your iman will make you repent. Remember this. Human nature will make you sin, but your iman will make you repent. This is why the narration says, if your bad deed makes you regret, you must know that you have iman. It's a sign of iman that's making you regret. If you had no iman, one bad deed, another bad deed, you get excited, you're building, the bad deeds building, building, and you're not even worried of the day you die. You know, when Allah gives us a few health problems, it is solely because He's telling us, hang on, start preparing to come back to us. That's all. So if we start becoming older or we have a few health matters and so on, it's normal. It's going to happen to everybody at some stage in their lives if they are given a long life. And you need to know that it's just a gift of Allah to make it more difficult for you to sin and to make it easier for you to turn to Allah. This is why the hadith says, when a person who is old and still engages in sin and engages in major sin, then they are earning the curse of Allah. Because Allah says, we're giving them chance after chance after chance. Allahu Akbar. You know, it's like someone, they come to you, they borrow money. And they come back and pay it back to you. They come to you, they borrow more money. Then, without paying it back, they come for more. And they come for more and more. And it's building and building. A day will come when the person they're borrowing from will stop. And he or she will say, do you know what? I think I've given you enough and now you need to start paying back. Now when we have a relation with Allah, we sin, we repent. Sometimes you might commit a sin again later on. It does not mean your initial repentance was not correct. It could mean that your human nature has led you to doing something you promised Allah not to do before, not to repeat it, and you've repeated it. So that is separated from the first sin. This is part of the mercy of Allah. And I want to explain this. Say for example, a person has committed a sin. And then, like what we learned from the story of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, that immediately he realized and he turned to Allah, he engaged in tawbah, and if that had happened to one of us, and we engaged in tawbah, and we told Allah, Ya Allah, I will never do this again, and we meant it when we said it, the tawbah is accepted. There is no ways that tawbah is rejected if the conditions are met. What are the conditions? You must admit what you did was wrong, you must regret it, you must ask Allah to forgive, and you must promise not to do it again. Four, simple conditions, they're not difficult. And you promise Allah not to do it again, but say after 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, you happen to fall again. The mercy of Allah separates the two sins. The one that happened, although it was the same nature as the one that is happening, it is separated, it's gone, it's something that was decided and discussed differently. It was a court case that occurred, that was won by you because of tawbah, and it's wiped out and it's gone. And this one you've committed now, even though it's exactly the same as the previous one, Allah's mercy separates it. That is Allah. That is Allah. Al-Ghafoorur Rahim, Ar-Rahmanur Rahim. He is the most forgiving, most merciful, most beneficent, most merciful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why my mothers and sisters, never let something bog you down that you've done in the past. Like we've said, we come out of a sin, we immediately engage in tawbah. If that happens to repeat itself somewhere down the line, engage in it again and engage in it again. To the degree that the tawbah on a daily basis should be a few times a day, several times a day, tens or hundreds of times a day. Ask Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me. It elevates your status. It keeps you going up higher and higher. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness in the dunya and the akhirah. So in these verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا. We did not create the heavens and the earth and what is in between them aimlessly. It's not that we just thought, okay, let's just have fun and let's make the heavens and the earth. Allah says, no, we did not do it to have fun, nor did we do it aimlessly. No. ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. That is the assumption of those who disbelieve. Those who disbelieve, and from amongst them are perhaps the atheists and the others, they think that all this that was created is just for fun. You know, it's just nature. It happened, it popped up and plopped up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Allah says, no, 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 no. We created it with a purpose and with a reason. You know, of late, we've been speaking about how we're becoming older. If this life was supposed to be eternal or to enjoy, we would have lived for longer than 70 years. 70 years is too little for us to be on the earth. If the earth was the main aim of us being created, but because paradise and the hereafter is the main aim for us having been created, this is only a passing phase, it's an examination. When you go to school, you do not stay in grade 1 or 2 forever. You have to pass up to grade 6 and 7 and you have to write your O and A and carry on and the different examinations of secondary and beyond university, and there comes a point When you're no longer at school, you now start working. You know, after you've written your secondary, you cannot say, look, I just want to stay in here, just for fun. You know what? You were not born in order to just be at school your entire life. I know some of you might be teachers and you must be thinking, well, I'm at school my entire life. But here, we're talking about people who are students. I mean, you've graduated, you've come back to teach people. That's there. But the same applies in life. We are only passing. We graduate every year and there's 70 different classes. In the case of the average, for example, 60 to 70 classes. Every year you move to a different class. So when you get to class number 59, there will come another examination. When you get to class number 60, different examination. 61, that examination might be connected to the way you treat your children. Sometimes 62, oh, how you treat your daughter-in-law, Allahu Akbar. I don't know why I had to bring that up. Anyway, then you get to class 63, class 64, and how you treat the people around you, how you talk to those who work for you. These are all your tests. You pass it, you carry on. Class 65, 66, and so on. Until you get to a class when only Allah knows you've now graduated into where? Into your grave. And what happens in your grave? You're waiting for prize giving. You've already been issued the letter. I'm just giving an example. Your parents have already got a letter, or you've already got a letter to say, you know what, please arrive at the prize giving night. Your child is getting something. Wow, subhanallah. That happens in the dunya. But obviously in the qabr it's totally different. It's just an example I gave. So you're waiting for what? For the day when the reckoning is going to be done properly, and you will get your book, inshallah, on the right hand. May Allah grant it to us. So this is life. We have come to this world. Allah says, this is not just a fun and a pastime. So if you are sitting in the dunya having fun and passing your time alone without Allah in the equation, then you've made a big mistake and you will regret. But if you have Allah in the equation, you will still enjoy your life. You are still allowed to go on holiday and you're still allowed to do so many different things, and you can go shopping and you can do whatever else on condition that Allah is in every equation throughout the day and night. That's the condition. There's nothing else. So those people who think that religiousness means that I must not go shopping, not go holiday, not do this, not spend time with my children, not have a few fun and games and so on, they do not know what the balance of life is all about. And there are others who do it completely the other extreme. Just have fun. Come time for salah, we could not be bothered. Why? Because salah is only for the old. Come time for wearing proper dress code, they think, no, because I'm not yet married. Who's going to see me? May Allah protect us. You find the girls now, they strip because they want the others to see them, because they want to get married. Well, if that's what they married you for, to be honest with you, whatever you have is going to deteriorate as time passes. And this is an amazing thing. I mentioned it in Jumu'ah, the Friday that we had, that you know how Allah works, that when you are young and you're growing old and you're becoming powerful and you're looking good and you become looking better and better, you're actually with your parents. You thought of that. So who watches you develop and become stronger and become prettier? Your parents. You get married and then your spouse watches you become weaker and become wrinkled. Look at that. Have you ever thought of it? So when you're climbing up the mountain, you're actually with your parents. You're not with your spouse. And when you're going down the mountain, you've got your own kids in most of the cases. But your spouse is watching your health deteriorate and watching you become a little bit wrinkled. And from this alone, common logic would tell us that when you're looking for a spouse, don't look for someone who's going to look at your beauty alone, because your beauty is definitely going to deteriorate. Common logic. Even if you take out every other point of advice that we've been given and you just look at nature, naturally you become a little bit more wrinkled, your health deteriorates. If you have a spouse who loved you because of your heart and your deen and your character, they will love you more and more, even though you can't walk anymore. And even though you might not be able to eat and you might not be able to run around with them as you might have, because when you hit your peak, you were with your spouse. Now you're coming down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding as to the fact that He has made mention of in this particular verse, where He says, we did not create all this just out of amusement, aimlessly. No, there is an aim, there is a purpose. I've only mentioned to you part of that purpose. So Allah says, that is the assumption of those who disbelieve. So woe to those who disbelieve from the fire. Warning to them regarding the fire. That will be their place. They will be punished, penalized if they think and they would have wasted their time. It's like a person who goes to a top school, and they're granted everything. They don't work hard at all. What will happen? They will fail their examinations. But after you fail once, twice, three, four, five, six times, the school will not want you there anymore, and you might have to just be a dropout. May Allah safeguard us. Then Allah says, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. A beautiful question being asked by Allah to make us think that the people who are doing good and the people who are doing bad, the people who believe and the people who are sinful, should they be treated equally? Can they be equal in all the ways and in any way, to be honest, those who are trying hard and those who are not, those who have come closer to us and those who are not? Do you not think we're going to test the people in order to distinguish and differentiate between those who have actually worked hard and not? If you go to school for 20 years or 15 years and there is no examination there, you will feel that it was so unfair that myself, who was so good at school, I came out with no certificate or with the same certificate as the person who did not even know what 1+1 was. How can the two of us be given the same certificate when that youngster did not know anything and I knew everything? So you would be happy when the examination comes, and a person who knows his work will be happier when more difficult questions come, because the bigger the challenge, the bigger the certificate, and the better you know you're going to do in comparison to those who did not know. Wow. This is why when you have a bigger test in your life, you must know your exam is bigger. Why? Because Allah has raised you higher. That's why. عِظَمُ الْأَجْرِ مَعَعِظَمِ الْإِبْتِلَى. We've said this hadith so many times. The higher reward is with the higher test. So when Allah tests you with a big test, some of us misinterpreted that Allah is definitely punishing this person. Why? Because they've got a big test. But no ways. It's got to do with how much Allah loves you in most cases. And it depends how you react to it. If you have come through right up to O-levels, is it fair for you to just get a grade 7 exam? No. You need a proper O-level exam with tough questions. And then you come out with an A. People will say, yes, this person did it and they succeeded and they got the best results from all of us. Hence, they got the best place in varsity or the best whatever job and whatever else. But if you are just happy to say, you know what, I'm all the way at A level, but I just want to write the grade 7 exam. I don't want a bigger exam than grade 7. No ways. When something comes in your direction, you just kick it off. If that's the case, you have flopped. You have a problem. You don't understand what school is all about. The same applies with us. We don't understand what life is all about. You have to be tested. Some of us have been... Look, every one of us has been tested and will continue to be tested. But some of us have bigger tests than others by far. Sometimes your health deteriorates at an early age. And that's a huge test from Allah. But it's because Allah loves you. He wants you to get closer to Him. So that one day, ultimately, when you do go, the qualification you have is far higher than those who just had a thorn prick on their finger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to understand this plan. All this is connected to this verse where Allah is saying, what we've created, the earth, the heavens, what is between, was not aimless. It's not for nothing. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. What is the reason? The reason is we do not want to tie both people with the same rope. Meaning we do not want the criminals and the good people to be considered equal. No, not in our eyes. Not when they come to us. Not in Jannah. Not even in the grave. Not even in their condition in the dunya. And this is why you have people in the dunya who have everything, but they're not happy because they don't have a link with Allah. And you have other people who've got nothing, but they're very happy because they have a link with Allah. So Allah already shows us through that ultimately what will help you, my mothers and sisters, is the link with Allah. Develop it. Make it. And don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or should we treat those who believe and do righteous deeds like the corruptors in the land? Should we treat them the same? Or should we treat those who fear Allah similar to the wicked? Should we treat them the same? Some who fear Allah, the others are wicked. Can we treat them the same? The answer is no. So Allah says, now, you want to know more about the plan of Allah? Well, here it is. Allah says, this is a blessed book. Which is a blessed book? This, the Quran. This is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they might reflect upon its verses and that those of understanding would be reminded. This to me is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Quran. In fact, to me, the most powerful verse in the whole Quran. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. To me, it is the most powerful verse in the whole Quran. I love this verse so much and I repeat it a lot and I like to talk about it so much. Every time I get an opportunity, I talk about this verse. Why? Because it is the whole reason why Allah revealed the Quran is encapsulated in one verse. Allah says, do you know why we revealed the Quran? Can we tell you why this Quran was revealed? Well, obviously I would want to know and you should know. He says, it is a blessed book that we revealed to you so that they can ponder over its verses. You know what that means? So that they look into what we said and try to understand it. And by doing that, they will understand the whole bigger picture of why we even made them in the first place. So the whole instruction manual of your life, here it is in front of you. Allah says, we revealed it in order for you to know why we made you. And to know where you're going to go and what is in store for you. That's it. And to know what is right and wrong whilst you are here. And to know how to deal with one another and judge between yourselves whilst you are here. And to know how we will judge you when you get back to us. All these things are written in this book. And that is why we have revealed it, so that those with understanding can take a lesson. They can learn from it. And so that it can be a book where each verse is taken and you ponder deeply over the verses. Now, like I said, the most powerful verse in the whole Quran, because it shows us how to treat the Quran. If you do not know this verse, you will not know how to treat the rest of the Quran. When Allah says, this book we have revealed to you in order, you know that lam, liyadabbaru, li means in order, so that, yadabbaru, so that they may ponder deeply over its verses. My mothers and sisters, sometimes we read 5 salah a day, sometimes we give zakah, sometimes we are considered pious, we've dressed properly, we've done everything, but we have not yet gone through the meanings of the verses of the Quran. We have failed. I'm saying it loud and clear, we have failed. No matter how pious we think we are, we have failed. Why? Because you don't know what Allah said. Allah revealed a book for you. Your life is once. Don't you have shame? You have not yet gone through the book of life. You have not yet gone through the book that will take you to Jannah. You have not yet gone through the word of the one who made you. He made you. Come on, man. Don't you have shame? Allah created you and He put a book to say, hang on, you want to know why I made you? Here's the book. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. I made it so that you can look into the verses and you can ponder deeply over them, and you, those with intellect and those with a sound mind, can actually take lesson. And you know what? You now have lived for 50, 60, 70 years. You have not yet looked at the word of Allah and tried to read it and tried to understand it. Oh, if that's the case, we've lost. May Allah forgive whoever's done this, and may He forgive us as well. Really, it's very shocking and it's sad. And this is why the devil directly is the one that tells you, do not go through the meaning of the Quran. That is shaitan. That is Iblis and his plot, his plan. Even if it comes to you in the voice of a person who might be religious, but he forgot about this verse of the Quran. And he forgot about the fact that when you meet Allah, Allah is not going to say, what did that sheikh in your community have to say about me? Allah is going to say, what did you read directly about me? What do you know about my message? Yes, you might have learnt it from those. You would have had to have learnt it from those with knowledge, definitely. When you have a question, you do not answer it yourself. You make sure that you've answered it through those who have the knowledge. That's definite. We are not competing with that. We're not arguing with it, and we're not trying to change that at all. But what we are saying is, if you have not made an effort to learn the book of Allah, you are at a loss. Complete loss. Why? Look at these three verses that we've done, covered today. Just three verses. But they are in such a beautiful sequence. In one verse, Allah is saying, we did not create everything just for fun. Second verse, Allah is saying, look, we will not make those who are good and those who are bad all on one level. We cannot treat them the same. And the third, Allah is saying, well, if you want to know now how to become a person who is on the right path and who is doing the right thing, then you need to just read the book we've sent you. It's over. Read the book we've sent you. It will lead you through to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you will understand how to lead your life. And then you will know why you are here. And when something happens to you, you will know why it's happening to you. And when you repent, you will have the correct hope. And when you've committed the sin, you will still have the correct hope in the mercy of Allah. And you will know how to protect yourself, and you will be able to be a happy person, content in the dunya, and going to meet Allah, wanting to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. To me, this is very, very powerful. I can pause on this verse and I can cry my tears out to say, subhanallah, what a gift of Allah. Allah gave you His word. His word. You know, I have to stop here to give an example to my brothers, my sisters. You see, when you really, really attached to someone, let's not talk about whether the attachment is halal or haram, we're just saying you're attached to someone. If they have to send you one SMS on your phone, yo, you will get such a shock, such a surprise. You'll skip a beat, your heart skips a beat. Wow, I got a message. From who? You don't want to know. You don't even want to know. I can't believe it. What did they say? You know off by heart exactly how they started, what they said and whatever. Whether it's a short message or a long message. Why? Because this person is so important to you and your heart. Ah, so excited. You know, if someone, even if they pass. Did you see who passed? Oh. What happened? You just attached. And you know, you skip a beat and even your breath, you can actually feel it, you know. And people know from your face that you've just started blushing. Allahu Akbar. Now the question I have here is, this is the message of the one who made you, Allah, the one who created you, the one who loves you, the one whom you have no option but to go back to Him. Wherever you run, you're going back to Him. And He tells you, listen, there's a message, I've got a message for you. And you know what? Today that message is available on your phone, on your iPods, on your computers, in book form, in CD form, in microchip form, in flash stick form, in whatever other form you want, in manuscript form, in audio form, in video form. What you want, it's there. But we still haven't made an effort. This is why we say, take the translations of the Quran in CD form, put it in your car, at least while passing. Although that is the second way of doing things. But whilst passing, you would have heard the message of Allah. Or take a moment and put it into your DVD, for example. At least you'd have heard what Allah is saying. But no. May Allah protect us. We know what Bollywood has said. We know what Hollywood has said. We know what Nollywood has said. And some of us are hooked onto the Zimbabwean soaps. May Allah protect us. Really. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. Life is not all about amusement. Like I said, you can enjoy yourself, but keep Allah in the equation. Keep Allah in the equation, which means let it be within the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's get through this verse here where Allah says, this is a blessed book. Kitabun. What a blessed book. أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ. We have revealed it to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا. So that they may reflect upon its verses, and that those of understanding would be reminded. I invite you, my mothers and sisters, and all those who may listen to this later on. Are you prepared to answer to this that Allah is asking of me and you? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to be from the ones who, when Allah says, we've revealed this book, that they might reflect upon its verses, that they do reflect upon its verses? Do you want to be from amongst those who reflect over the verses of Allah? Well, if that is the case, it's going to be a big effort. And you're going to have to fight people who tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Because sometimes the devil comes in the form of others, and in the form of human beings who tell you not to do what you're supposed to be doing. May Allah protect us. You need to have knowledge of your own. You need to know that what I'm doing is right. And this is your link between you and Allah. It's not good enough for us to go back to Allah and say, but you know what, I didn't know. Allah says, but we sent you the book. How could you not have known? We gave you the instructions. We told you what to do. This is why the same Quran, today we spoke about some powerful points about how you must feel the forgiveness of Allah and never feel bogged down by your past. Never ever. And that is in the Quran where Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. But the problem is we've never read the Quran, so we don't even know what the message of Allah is. So we always feel like I'm so dirty, I'm so bad, I'm so this, I'm so that. No! Turn to Allah. You are pure. You are also a human. Allah loves you. That's why Allah made you. But you need to turn to Him in order for to show your love of Allah. Allah loves us, but we don't show our love to Allah. Sometimes we don't even love Allah in return. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. The fact that He's given us a chance, obviously He cares for us. He's made us. He is the owner of our sustenance and every aspect of our existence. That is Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this in this beautiful way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to David we gave a son, Solomon. To Dawood alayhi salam, may peace be upon them both. Allah says, to Dawood alayhi salam, we gave a son, Solomon, Sulaiman. We gave Sulaiman an excellent servant. Indeed, he was one repeatedly turning back to Allah. Look at this. All these verses are connected. I was going to go through the story of Sulaiman today, but inshallah I'll go through it perhaps next week if Allah gives us the opportunity to do so. But what I want to tell you here is, look at the main point that Allah has mentioned in this opening verse of the story of Sulaiman, or part of the story of Sulaiman. What did he say? He was an excellent worshipper. So Allah gave a gift. Dawood had a gift. What was the gift? The form of a son. You have children, it's a gift. You don't have children, it's also a gift. Because Allah chooses for you. And He knows, it's your test. Like we say, you perhaps are earning a PhD in spiritual terms. Because you did not get what you wanted, you are actually just getting what Allah wants. Some of us are lucky, we get what we want and what Allah wants. Obviously Allah would want it, that's when we would get it. But we've got something that we would have loved and it's there. That's a test as well. But if you don't get what you want, then you need to know the test is bigger, because you have an opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, Allah says, we gave Dawood the son Sulaiman. We want you to know that he was an excellent servant. He served us and he was an excellent servant. Now, if you have a servant or I have a servant and you say, this is an excellent servant, what does that mean? Whenever I've said something, they do it quickly. Or they do it even before I've said anything. Subhanallah. Meaning they're willing, something which is voluntary, you know, like your nafil, acts of worship, that which is voluntary, you engage in it before it's instructed upon. One is the instruction, and two is that which is over and above that in terms of voluntary permissible deeds. Allahu Akbar. So Allah says, an excellent servant, and we want you to know that he was one who repeatedly turned back to us. In what? In tawbah. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابَ. If you recall, last week we mentioned the term Awwab, and I said, what a beautiful name. The father was called Awwab, and the son is also being called Awwab. Awwab meaning one who turns back to Allah in tawbah, in repentance, seeking forgiveness often, often. Now, why we are saying this is, Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood, they were two who were kings as well as prophets. And they had done certain things within the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby repentance was required of them and they engaged in repentance. And Allah says, we forgave them. And now Allah is saying, they were excellent. Did Allah say, Sulaiman was not excellent because he did this and he did that and picked on two, three things that he had done? Or Dawood was not excellent, he was not one who was worth it because he judged between the people and without listening to the other party and he did this and he did that? No! Allah did not even, Allah raised all those things in order to show us that even with that, we still called them excellent servants and they were the best of the lot and they were top and we chose them as prophets and as kings and we put them, they had the dunya and the akhirah set for them, but they were still the most humble of people. You know, Sulaiman, inshallah, next week I hope we will go through verses which show you that he was given something that nobody after him was given. He made a dua, oh Allah, grant me that which none will have after me. And Allah gave him the power to do so many things, so powerful. He could actually control the wind and the mountains and so many other things, the animals, he could speak to them and he could talk to them, do so many things. And this was all the gift of Allah. Because he made dua. And what was the powerful point? He constantly repented to Allah. I hope and I pray the lesson we have today, my mothers and sisters, as I close the session, let us constantly repent to Allah. Don't think that because I don't have a sin that I can remember, I'm not going to ask Allah's forgiveness. Ask Allah's forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive us all. Ya Allah, continue to forgive us for those sins we know, those sins we do not know, those sins we've committed openly, those sins we've committed in private, those sins we remember, those sins we cannot remember. Ya Allah, forgive us and continue to forgive us in a way that when we meet with you, you are pleased with us and you grant us paradise. My mothers and sisters, it's important to read the Quran. It's important to understand the Quran. So there's two things. One is the recitation, extremely important. The other is the meaning and translation, extremely important. We need to understand, fulfill both. No matter how old you are, no matter what has happened in your life, go into the meanings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where you will find comfort of the soul. You will happily look forward to the meeting with Allah, such that the day you are in sakarat, you will not be a depressed person. You will be such a happy person to return back to the most merciful who loves you the most. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us all. May He grant us a lofty place in paradise. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.